Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today.
Going to be continuing in this series that Pastor Mike started a few weeks ago called Access. I'm a little salty that he didn't change the colors to pink this week for me, but I'll let it go. But we are continuing in this teaching. Now, if you're like, well, I haven't been here the past few weeks, am I going to be lost? No, you won't be lost. We'll do a quick recap. But where we are starting at is we have been talking about the Lord's Prayer, when the Lord is teaching us how to pray. And it starts in Matthew 6. If you want to open up your Bibles to Matthew 6, it says this in verse 8. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now that's where Pastor Micah stopped at last week, was give us this day our daily bread. So up until this point, we know that first of all, we are supposed to come and first of all, acknowledge the Lord as our Father. There's supposed to be a reverence in who he is. Then once we know who he is, then we surrender to him, right? We say, you're holy, I surrender to you. And we say, your kingdom come, your will be done. We say, Lord, you have your way in this place. So now we get to go into a really fun part. After give us this day our daily bread, verse 12 says this, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So today, I get to focus on a really fun part of this scripture. And especially a really fun one on Mother's Day. We're going to be talking about forgiveness. Yeah, you're all excited now, right? You're like, oh, forgiveness, yes. The truth is, Jesus had a whole lot to say about forgiveness. In fact, he had so much to say that what I love is even after the doxology at the end of the Lord's Prayer, he then says this in verse 14. He goes back to it. This is the one part he goes back to. He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Ow. Does that hurt you a little bit this morning when you maybe think about how many of you have ever been hurt before? How many of you have ever gone through some things? Yeah, you've had some issues with people. People have hurt you. They have done things that you did not like. And still, the answer is this. You must do what? You must forgive. Now, there is a parable that Jesus tells us. And it's in Matthew chapter 18. If you want to turn there, we're going to get in all your Bible reading, okay? Some of y'all have fallen behind on your plan, so we're going to get you caught up. Matthew chapter 18 is a parable that Jesus is using to teach us about what forgiveness looks like and also to make you just a little more mad at him. You're going to love this part. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21. We're going to start there. It says this. Then Peter came up and said to him, he asked a really great question. Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? What I love about this is I imagine Peter being like, seven is like a really big number. That's a lot. So when I ask Jesus, like he's going to be like, wow. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times 7. Now, if you have a different translation of the Bible, some of them say 70 times 7, some say 7 times 7. Either way, can we all agree that it's not about the actual number of times, but it's about the heart? Is forgiveness is never ending, right? So regardless of which way you want to do the math, what Jesus is saying here is that, listen, you have to forgive. Yes, over and over and over again. And I know that you're tired of it, and I know that they hurt you, and I know that it stinks, and I know that what they did was wrong, but guess what? You still have to forgive. And then he goes on to tell the story. I'm just imagining right now, this is kind of like when I talk to my kids and they think they're going to get a really simple answer out of me, and then I tell them a whole story. That's what I imagine this is like for Peter right now, because Jesus is like, all right, now let me tell you the story. So he says this parable. It says this, verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That's 24, okay. And 25, and since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. So we see here that this servant owed the king lots and lots of money. And he had to pay, he was supposed to pay that debt. But what did the king do? The king had pity on him. He forgave him. So now we see in verse 28, but when that same servant, everybody say same. That same servant went out. He found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him. That got violent very quickly, saying, pay what you owe me. He said, better have my money. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. But he refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. So he was forgiven of a large debt. But then, that's right, ew. But then he goes out to his fellow servant who owes him less money and starts choking him and says, you pay me. And when he couldn't, he decides to throw him in the prison. Well, guess what? When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. You asked for my forgiveness. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? Ooh. And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. And here's the hitter. It says this. So also my heavenly Father will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. How many of you feel a little convicted right now? Mm-hmm. How many of you have ever been mad at somebody for doing something that really probably wasn't even that big of a deal? How many of you have ever held something against someone, yet you've turned around and done the same thing to somebody else? Here's the issue. You know, why was Jesus showing us in this parable? What was he showing us? What was his response to Peter about? Well, first of all, we have to put ourselves in this story. We have to realize that the king in this story is who? It's God. And who owed all of that debt? It was us. But Jesus, he paid for it. He was the sacrifice for our sins. And yet so many times we are like the servant who we go around and we say, but you owe me. But you did this to me. And we forget what Jesus did for us. Listen, forgiveness is theologically central to salvation's meaning. The whole point of salvation is this: you did not pay what you owed. So many times we're wanting other people to pay something that they don't owe us either. Listen, we forgive others because God has already forgiven us through Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 31 through 32 says this: get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Forgiveness is a gift that we did not deserve, yet he gave it to us so freely. When we put ourselves in this story, how often do we become the unforgiving servant? We receive this gift of freedom so beautifully from the Lord, and yet we don't believe that others are worthy of that same gift. But Jesus is showing us that our sins were great, yet he still loved us enough to forgive. And listen, our forgiveness of others is a fundamental response to the forgiveness that God has given us. If you truly believe that you were forgiven, then you must respond in forgiveness to others. Forgiveness is not a one-way street when it comes to the Lord. He forgives us, and then we are to reciprocate by forgiving others. We have to make it a decision to forgive people, right? So if that is a fundamental response and we are not doing that, meaning we're choosing to be bitter, we're choosing to want vengeance or revenge, we're choosing to talk bad about those people because they hurt us that one time, and now every time we're in a conversation with anybody, we've got to bring up that thing that happened. Don't know, have you ever been around somebody like that before? Or maybe every time they call you, they're calling about the same thing. They're beating the dead horse over and over again. And you're like, please put the horse away. Okay, the horse has been through enough. We don't have to keep talking about it. But the truth is, that is a symptom of unforgiveness. If that thing is rolling around in your mind constantly, it's unforgiveness. But here's the thing. Jesus even tells us in that parable what the price of unforgiveness is. And it's not a fun one. Think about it. In this parable, what happens when the servant doesn't forgive? It says the king does what? He throws him into the jail. Or in some translations it actually says that he'll be given over to the torturers. And you're thinking, oh, that sounds so evil. I can't believe God would do that. Now, wait a second. God didn't do that. And God's not doing that to you now. When you choose to harbor unforgiveness, you are putting yourself in the jail cell. When you choose unforgiveness, you are literally sticking yourself in the jail, you are locking and shutting the door, and then you are dealing with the torment that comes with unforgiveness. What is that torture? What does the torture of unforgiveness look like? It looks like you constantly bringing up those issues. It looks like you not ever being able to see other people the way that God sees them because you're too busy focusing on what they did to you. That torture means you're staying up late at night thinking of all the ways that you can get back at them. So you might think that unforgiveness doesn't have a cost, but it does. And the cost is your own soul. It's your spirit. If you're not forgiving others, how can God the Father forgive you? This is not a suggestion. This is what you must do. And I often wonder when people say, well, I could never forgive that person. Especially, first of all, if you're a Christian, that should never come out of your mouth. I do not care. Listen, you might. I can hear you right now in your mind. You're going, but you don't know what they did to me. It was so horrible. It was so terrible. And I am not saying for a second that that's not true. Because listen, you don't have to forgive somebody if they've not done anything wrong to you. So by just principle, having to forgive someone means they did something wrong. So I'm not saying that what they did didn't hurt you. What I'm saying is your response to it matters. It matters. Your mind, your body, your emotions will be constantly tortured by unforgiveness if you don't release it. And listen, I know it's Mother's Day, and the truth is a lot of people struggle with unforgiveness towards their parents. There are so many people who even now you are grieving and mourning the relationship that you wanted to have with your mom, with your dad. And here's the other truth about having this unforgiveness, especially towards your parents. Listen, the truth is if you do not deal with that thing, you will repeat the very patterns that you are trying to break. You cannot deliver your children out of the jail cell if you won't even open it up. If you are still keeping yourself in the cell of unforgiveness and you're constantly, well, I wish my mom did that wrong and my mom did that wrong. Listen, I'm not saying that your mom was perfect. I'm not saying that she even deserves access back into your life. But what I am saying is that you have got to forgive her and move on. Forgive them, whoever it is. Forgive them and move past it so you won't continue repeating those same cycles. Because believe me, if you don't free yourself from that, you sure will. All those things that you said, I'll never do that, you will be nevering like you never nevered before. I promise you, there are moments, listen, and I love my mom so much, I'm so thankful for her, and but I'll tell you what, there were some things when I had kids, I said, oh, I'm not going to do that thing. Y'all, I did all those things, and then some. I was like, ooh, this is Sheila coming out right now. So you have got to release. You've got to break that cycle. But here's what I think the issue is that a lot of times in churches we've preached forgiveness and we haven't actually talked about what that really means or what it really is. So often forgiveness has been used as a tool to just shut people up. Like, oh, brother, you just got to forgive and forget. You got to move on. Listen, that is not biblical forgiveness. And I'm sorry if forgiveness was used as a weapon against you. Because forgiveness is supposed to be freedom for you. Forgiveness means this. Forgiveness ultimately means letting go. You got to be like Elsa, all right? Let it go. Letting go of resentment, letting go of your right to remain offended, and letting go of your desire to get even or pursue your own version of justice. Because there are a lot of times that we think something is justice when really it's just revenge. And we're not called to get revenge. Right. We're called to give forgiveness. Yes. And let the Lord deal with the rest. Yes. Here's something that I want you to know, and you might need to write this down. If Jesus could die for them, you can forgive them. Yeah. I often wonder if the reason why we think that we can't forgive people, or the reason why even Jesus talks about how serious it is to forgive, is because the way in which you forgive is directly correlated to the way that you view how powerful the blood is. You think about it. If you truly believe that his blood is enough to forgive us of our sins, that his blood is enough to set you free and everybody else free. If you believe that, then how can you not forgive? Because there's power and there's grace. Listen, he doesn't just say it like, forgive them. No, he also gives you. In fact, when Jesus comes back to his disciples, he actually says, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he talks about forgiveness again, because he's like, you're going to need help. You're going to need help. You're going to need help forgiving. I got to run through this. An unforgiving heart reveals a fundamental misunderstanding of the gift you've been given through Jesus. If you are battling with unforgiveness, then you're probably also battling with your own self-worth. Because for some reason, you are having to make what they did more important than your reaction. And as a Christian, you don't get to do that. As a Christian, you don't get to hold on to what they did because, oh, well, it was so horrible and terrible. Once again, I'm not saying that it wasn't terrible. I'm not saying that people just get to do whatever they want and it's no big deal. But if you are wanting to look like Jesus, you're going to have to do what he did. And you'll have to forgive them. Literally, as he's on the cross, what does he say? Father, forgive them. Do you believe that his blood is enough? Do you believe that his forgiveness of you is enough? Because I also think sometimes we battle with unforgiveness because a lot of times we can't even forgive ourselves. We've yet to even receive the forgiveness that Jesus has already paid for us. Listen, if that's you this morning, shame and condemnation is not part of your DNA. If you have been bought by the blood, you're a new creation. So let the other stuff go. Because when you can be free and when you can look back and see, you know what? I messed up. I did some dumb stuff. God, you forgave me. So I can forgive others. That's what you died for. But just like you can be saved and then you still have to walk through the process of sanctification, listen, you're going to have to walk through the process of forgiveness. Okay, because here's the thing. Forgiveness is a decision and it is a process. A lot of times people will say, well, how do I know if I've forgiven if I still feel, you know, that hurt or that pain or whatever? Listen, that does not mean that you haven't forgiven, because first of all, forgiveness is a decision, meaning you immediately, or years down the road when you hear this message, say, I am going to let go of what I've been holding on to, and I am going to now decide to walk in that decision and go through the process of forgiveness. There's a decisionary measure, and then there's the emotional forgiveness that comes through a process of continuing forgiveness and continuing to choose forgiveness. Now, really quickly, I want to go through some misconceptions about what forgiveness is and what it's not, okay? Here's one. Forgiveness is not saying that the other person was right or that they did not do wrong or that they did no wrong. Forgiveness is not saying like, if I forgive them, that just means that they don't have to deal with any consequences, and that just means they just get to get away with it. No. Listen, forgiveness has nothing to do with them. Forgiveness is between you and the Lord. Forgiveness is about your heart, not about them. So here's two things can be true at the same time. What they did could be wrong, and they can deserve consequences, and you can still forgive. Because your unforgiveness will do more harm than what your forgiveness will do for them and for you. Yeah. Forgiveness is also not reconciliation or access. Yeah. This is something that the church has gotten wrong a lot. We have allowed people to be victimized and re-victimized over and over again, all in the name of forgiveness. And we've said, well, you know, you just need to forgive them and you need to just move on. And yes, you do need to forgive. But listen, forgiveness is between you and the Lord. Reconciliation is between you and the other person. Right. Reconciliation is restoring trust in a relationship where trust has been damaged. So what does that mean? It means reconciliation requires both parties to work together. Yeah. Trust requires both sides to be trustworthy. Yeah. So if one person does not act in a trustworthy way, no trust will be built and reconciliation will not happen. So you can forgive them, and you can even talk to them, and you should, because here's the other side of this. We have a generation of people who are cutting off their parents and doing all of this other stuff because they didn't like a certain thing. And when you go, have you talked to them about it? They're like, well, no, because if, well, then you already have missed it because you haven't even walked through the biblical way of confronting things. But if you have gone through that way, you've confronted them in love, you've pointed out the things, and they're still not doing the right thing, they're still not willing to apologize, they're not willing to change things, that is when they're unrepentant, that is when you decide and you talk, you get counsel. Don't just be cutting off people and saying, well, I forgave them, but I'm not giving them access because Pastor Chelsea said, no. Don't be including me in your text to your mom later, okay? Listen, you need to get counsel about that. Because first of all, you need to figure out if you've actually walked through forgiveness or if this is you trying to punish them. Because if you're trying to punish them, there's a difference. Boundaries is not about punishing someone. It's about protection. Because if you continue to allow them access over and over again and they're not repentant and they continue to do those, then guess what? Those things, then you're going to end up with resentment. Right. Forgiveness is not putting yourself back in an abusive relationship. You can forgive that person and not talk to them again. Romans 12, 17 through 19 says this, and my son Levi, he should know this part really good. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. We tell our boys this all the time. They'll be like, someone said did this to me. And we're like, do not repay evil. And they get very annoyed. They're like, repay evil for evil. But be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Now this is verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. What does that mean? It's not always up to us. If a person refuses to reconcile or to act trustworthily, then reconciliation doesn't occur. But you have to exhaust the options of living in peace. But how many of you know some people, they don't like peace? It does not matter how much you try to force peace on them, it's not possible. But listen, if it is up to you, meaning if you are in the position to be able to show them peace and show them forgiveness and walk out those things with them, then you should. But forgiving and forgetting is not biblical either. So write this down. Forgiveness is not forgetting and it's not being in denial. All right? People have used the forget part to just say, well, just act like it never happened. But that's not good for you, and it's not good for them. Listen, if you put your hand on a hot stove and you keep putting your hand on the hot stove, you're not making good decisions here. You don't want to forget that stove. Listen, what do you need to do? You need to, well, turn the heat on the stove down, okay? Maybe you need to put on some... Do whatever you've got to do. You've got to put those boundaries. Now, here's what I love is a lot of times, and I'm going to be honest, a lot of times this is a man thing. not to point y'all out or anything. But it's Mother's Day, so I get to do that, right? A lot of times I'll hear men say, they'll say things like, you know, I'm just a really forgiving person. Like, things just really don't bother me. I don't have to deal with, and y'all, all the ladies are like, it's you. Except Mr. Newland. He is very in touch with his feelings. And we love that. It's a good man right there. But sometimes we just like to act like, oh, we don't have anything to forgive, when the truth is you're just in denial. You're just not willing to say that you've actually been hurt. And listen, that's not healthy either. You have to actually admit that you're dealing with something to deal with it. You got to say, you know what? Yeah, that did hurt me. Guys, it's okay to have feelings. I promise you. Although, if you're my husband, sometimes I'm like, have a little less. This is why, listen, when we sit down with people and we counsel, I'll be like, I am the man. And like, not in like the, yeah, I'm the man. Like, no, I'm like, oh, I am very much, I'm the like, very black and white, like about things and very direct. And he's like, he's over there feeling all of the things. And I love that the Lord balanced us out that way because you need both sides of it. But listen, if you're hurt and you try to deny it, that's not forgiveness. That doesn't mean you're a very forgiving person, because the truth is, the next day when you're in the garage and you're working on something that doesn't work right, you're like, ah! And you're like kicking the tire. I don't know why I'm such an angry man or woman. I don't know why I'm so upset with everybody all the time. Well, it's because you went through your life claiming you're a forgiving person when really you're just in denial. You got to know what forgiveness actually is. It's not confrontation. Yes, confrontation is good if you do it in a healthy way, but even hearing somebody say that they're sorry and try to appease you, confronting them isn't going to change your heart. Because there are many people who can be confronted and they can even apologize to you and you can still walk around with unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart. Here's another thing. Forgiveness does not require an offender's repentance. Some of y'all have said, I will forgive when they say that they're sorry. So, funny thing, there's no prerequisite to forgiveness. It's just this. We forgive because he forgave. Listen, Jesus on the cross forgave. Did they apologize right there? Did he go, let me come off the cross for a second. Are you guys sorry? Are y'all sorry? Do you see what you're doing to me? Do you see how bad this hurts? Because the truth is, you don't even care about the apology anyways. You just want them to hurt the way that you hurt. So if you're really wanting to look like Jesus, you're going to have to forgive even if they don't apologize. Okay, but the other side of that is this. If you are a Christian and you know that you've done something wrong to somebody, it is in fact your job to apologize. Yes. All right? So what you don't get to do is say, well, you know, especially like in churches and stuff, you like to be mean to other people and then go, but they're going to forgive me. We're all Christians. We can move on. Forgive. Whoa, whoa, whoa. If you are a Christian and you have done something wrong, you do in fact need to apologize. Amen. Listen, Matthew 5, 23, verse 24 says this, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there, remember that your brother has something against you. Yeah. Some of y'all come up to the altar and you're thinking about what everybody has done to you. No, 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 no. You flip that around. When you come into the church, you start thinking about, Lord, what have I done? Lord, change me. It's all about your heart posture. It says, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. That means this, husbands and wives. Some of y'all got in a fight in the car on the way here. Or maybe with your kids. Because Sunday mornings, whew, there's nothing easy about Sunday mornings. You need to apologize. You need to apologize. It's actually hurtful when your kids and your husband or your wife see you treat them like garbage out there and then come in here, Lord, you're so good to me. Hallelujah. Jesus. Y'all know moms, after we go a little crazy, then we're like, turn on the worship music. I want to be tried by... No, I don't. All right. Okay, so now that we've talked through what is forgiveness, what does it mean? It's letting go. We know that it's not just forgetting all of those things. I'm supposed to be done by now. Whoops. Really quickly, as fast as I can, there is a lot of times when we tell people to forgive, we know, yes, okay, this is a decision that I have to make, right? I have to decide to let go. But then you still notice an emotional reaction or response when you're maybe around that person, when you're put into situations, having to deal with that person or that organization, whatever it is. That means you need to do the work of walking through the process of emotional forgiveness. Okay? So forgiveness is the decision to let go, and it's also the decision to choose a new way. So I'm gonna give you, this is called the REACH model, okay? If you don't know, I'm in school for counseling, and this is one of the things I really, really love. It's been super helpful for me. It's called the REACH method. I did not come up with this. It's Dr. Everett, and I actually meant to give y'all a printout for it, but I'll post it in our Facebook group later. But this is gonna help you with walking through how to forgive. So we're going to go through it really quickly. R is recall the hurt. And some of you are like, we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to. Once again, this is about you first have to admit, yep, I need some healing. And listen, some of you, you have recalled the hurt to everybody but the Lord. But if you want to forgive, you got to shut your mouth to everybody else and you got to talk to him. So recall the hurt. You need to think about what happened. You need to lay it out before the Lord. Lord, they hurt me. They did this to me. I didn't like it. It hurt, yada, yada. Whatever you need to say, get it all out. Lay it out before God. Lament to him. Then, E, and this is the one you don't like, empathize with or sympathize with them. Feel compassion for and love for the one who hurt you. And you're like, absolutely not. Right? Absolutely not. Some of you, you have some deep, deep hurts, and you're like, there is no way. Listen, it might not feel like it now, but that's why I said it's a process. Here is a really good way to empathize with somebody. First of all, you can put them, some of you, you get a chair, okay? And you visually put that person in that chair. And you start saying to them, pour your heart out, and you can even start to think about what was it that made them do this? What was it? And then you start thinking about all the times that you have done the wrong thing. You start thinking about the way that you have hurt other people. You start thinking about the way that you've hurt the Lord and you've disobeyed him. Because the truth is, there are so many times that we give ourselves a break. And we, you know, like we show up late and we're like, oh, the Starbucks line was so long, but I really needed coffee. And you can let it go, but then that person you don't like walks in a little late and you're like, I can't believe they would do that. You've got to put yourself in their shoes. And if there is no way for you to do that, you're like, I could never do something as terrible as them. Another way that you can empathize is to pray for them. All right, that is why in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, love your enemies and bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Because when you pray for them, it's not about changing them, it's about changing you. And when you start blessing them instead of cursing them, all of a sudden you'll be like, oh, they don't seem as bad as they used to. They don't, all of a sudden, you're able to look at them through the eyes of the Spirit instead of the eyes of your hurt. So what that means is that you, every time you see that person and you're like, I want to fight them, instead you're going to put your hands like this. All right, you're going to put up the, you're going to, no. Mm-hmm. instead of saying that little snarky remark, you're gonna zip it and you're gonna say, Lord, bless them. And at first it's gonna feel sarcastic, right? In your head, you're gonna be like, when you're first praying for them, you'll be like, Lord, bless them. You know, like Lord, thank you for this person. Don't you get a picture of that? I'm gonna have to walk through forgiveness towards Janae. She's gonna get all the ugly pictures. But eventually you'll see it does get easier because you will start seeing them in a different way. All right, A is give an altruistic gift of forgiveness. What that means, it's a selfless concern for the welfare, happiness, and well-being of others. Guess what? That's what Jesus did for you. Yes. You decide to give them forgiveness out of a desire of empathy without expecting rewards or personal gain. You simply do it because he did it for you. Listen, you can reframe this in your mind as this is not a duty, it's not I have to forgive, but this is a response of gratitude. I don't have to like what they did, but I can be thankful for what the Lord did for me, and I can respond in gratitude for what he did by forgiveness. C, commit to the forgiveness you experience. Once you've decided to forgive, then what you can do, listen, some of you, when you go home today, you need to commit to this. Maybe you need to tell your whoever it is that you've been talking to. If you've been calling up your sister every day, talking about your mom, you're going to call up your sister today and you're going to say, today I chose to forgive mom. Commit to it. As much as you have gone around and talked bad about that person, go to all those people that you talked about and say, you know what, I've actually decided to forgive. Commit to it. And H, hold on to forgiveness when you doubt. You need to hold on even tighter to forgiveness as you held on to that hurt. Hold on to the decision even when the emotions don't line up. Remember that a decision to forgive is a decision about how you intend to act towards the person from this point forward. Are you going to choose to see them the way that God does? Are you going to choose to view them as somebody created in his image? Once again, I'm not saying that that makes what they did okay. I'm not saying that that means that it doesn't hurt. I'm not saying that you don't need to have boundaries. But what I am saying is that you must forgive. Just as he has forgiven you, you need to forgive others. So if you will stand up, and let's just thank the Lord for his forgiveness. And even right now, just take a moment to even think about whoever it is, whatever it is, that you've been holding on to unforgiveness. And right now, I encourage you and I challenge you. And some of you might be like, well, I don't think I'm dealing with unforgiveness. Then I want you to be aware this week as you're in conversation, as you're going to certain places, what brings up that ugh response? Because that's probably something that you need to deal with. So all over this room, if you'll lift your hands, Father, we just thank you right now that you poured out forgiveness on us, that even though our sins were as filthy rags, you washed us white as snow. You have cast our sin as far as the east is from the west. So Lord, we thank you for the grace and the mercy that you've poured out on us. And in return, we choose to pour it out on others, Lord. We forgive others just as you have forgiven us. And as we choose to make this choice of forgiveness, Lord, we also commit to walking out the process of forgiveness. We commit to looking at others the way that you see them, to viewing them the way that you've created them to be. We put away all malice, all bitterness, all unforgiveness right now, Lord, and we thank you for your love and for your mercy. We thank you that your plans are greater than ours. So, Lord, we don't have to seek out revenge because we know that your justice is better, and you will work even what the enemy meant for evil, you will turn it around and you will work it for our good. In Jesus' mighty name, come on and shout amen.